Many of us, most of us, maybe even all of us, have been part of a family reunion. That special time, some do it annually, where people have been separated for a time or brought together to celebrate their connectivity with one another. In fact, it's at family reunions, you discover folk you didn't even know were part of your family. Nieces, nephews, cousins, uncle, aunts, who've been brought back together because of a reunion that has occurred due to a separation that life has created. God is inviting us to a family reunion. He wants to reconnect with members of his family who have drifted from him. He has a term for that reconnection. That term is repentance. Repentance is that inner resolve and determination to turn from sin and return to fellowship with God. It is that inner resolve and determination to turn from sin and return back to God that is validated by what the Bible calls fruits of repentance, or visible, demonstrable actions that are taking to prove you weren't just talking noise or having a momentary feeling, because you took steps to return back to him that could be authenticated. Fruits of repentance. Repentance is the word to bring you back into fellowship, which opens up the door based on God's sovereign prerogative to address the consequences that the departure created from him. We have established the fact that departure from God results in consequences in life. Sin has repercussions. Many, most, if not all, can point to regrets in your life that if you could go back, turn back the hands of time, and do it all over again, you would have done it differently. Because there is the ongoing consequence of the sin that you are ashamed of. We are going to be moving towards specific areas of consequence. Specific areas where we are feeling the pain and the struggle of the past that may be ruining today and creating havoc for any anticipation for tomorrow. It is with that in mind that I want to let the Lord tell us a story. It is a well-known story. But walk with me through this story, because I believe it will be transforming for you and me and us, but also help you to help other people who need a U-turn, a reversal in life, so that their circumstances can be affected, their consequences. In Luke chapter 15, we are told that the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to Jesus to hear him teach. They were listening to his message. But the religious leaders, according to verse 2, the scribes and the Pharisees grumbled, saying, "This man, Jesus, receives sinners and he actually eats with them." They were ticked off that Jesus Christ was interfacing and even fellowshipping with folks who in their minds ought to have been avoided. This leads Jesus to tell a couple of stories. He tells about a shepherd where one sheep goes and gets lost, and the shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one and brings the one back. He then says there's a woman with 10 coins. She loses one. She turns on the light. She dusts. She sweeps in order to find the one coin. And the shepherd celebrates when he brings back the shepherd. The woman celebrates when she finds the coin. And then he makes the point that heaven rejoices when one sinner repents than over righteous who do not need to repent. Heaven has a party when a sinner comes home. There is actually a party in glory when someone who is lost returns to the fold. Having stated his two illustrations, he comes with the zinger. You know it as the prodigal son. Let's revisit his story today to see how it affects your fellowship with God and the possible reversals of consequences you may be experiencing because of sin, or those you know and love may be experiencing because of sin. I think you'll find some very interesting things in this story. A man has two sons, verse 11 says. The younger of the son comes to the father and says, "Give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. The younger son comes to dad and he says, "Dad, I want my inheritance because I want to leave now." Now that may not seem like a big deal to you and me, but it was a big deal back then, because in the Jewish world, you only sought your inheritance when it was time for your father to die. When he was on his deathbed, like we do wills today when somebody dies, when you're on your deathbed was the time inheritances were handed out. That's why Isaac handed out his inheritance when he was on his deathbed to his two sons. It was the time of death that provided it. Well, this father is very much alive. And the son says, "I'd like my inheritance now." Translation, "I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. You living too long. I don't want to wait till you die. I want to get out of here now. I don't want to be here anymore. I want my independence, Daddy. I don't want to be here. Being with you is too limiting. Being with you is too restrictive. Being with you is too holding me down." You have any teenagers like that? Want to get out of there? Or perhaps you were like that with your parents. "I got to get out of here. Can't wait to go to college so I can do my thing, because there's too many rules. You tell me when I got to come in. You tell me who my friends are. I don't want you telling me all that. Give me my inheritance now so I can leave. I want to be free." So he gathers his things together. And when he gathers his things together after many days, he goes on a journey to a distant country where he squandered his estate with loose living, spent everything he had. There was a severe famine that occurred in the country, and he began to be impoverished. He goes to a far country. Why? Because he wants to get as far from home as he can. That's why some of your kids want to go out of state to college. They don't want you to be able to visit them. He goes to a far country. But watch this. He uses the father's wealth to take him from the father. See, because his inheritance paid for his trip. So he takes what his father provided and uses it in an illegitimate way in a far country. That's what happens when we wander far from God. We take the time he's given us and use it for sin or evil or rebellion. We take the resources he's given us and we spend it irresponsibly or illegitimately. We take the energy we give us. It's like paying for a kid's college education who's partying in school and failing in grades. Taking your money, throwing it away in a far country. Please notice the father lets him leave. Father doesn't make him stay, because God wants you with him, because that's where you want to be. He says, "Dad, I don't want to be here anymore. I want you to give me that I can use in a wretched way. And I'm going to go as far from you as I can get because I don't want you restricting me, and I don't even want you seeing me. And so he goes to a far country. In the Bible, the far country is called the world. That system headed by Satan that leaves God out. Worldliness is simply going to that system that doesn't want you to bring God into it so you can do things that are in rebellion against God. That's a far country. That's a long way away from the Father. It's getting as far from God as you can possibly get. Many of us knows what it is. You never wanted to see a church when it was time to leave home if your mother made you go. Because you wanted a far country. You didn't want those guidelines, those governances, those rules, those regulations. I gotta go. And there, he took the resources of the Father. That means if he lived in our country, he went to New York, L.A., or Las Vegas. And his favorite song was Lionel Richie's All Night Long. Because my boy was going to party. He was going to party. He was spending his money and he was living it up. He was living the good life in a far country. He was like the bride who loved the wedding ring but didn't care about the groom. He wanted the shiny stuff, but not the relationship. And so people want God to give them stuff. They want to be blessed while they live in a far country. The world is like an amusement park. It's like going to Six Flags. It's like going to the State Fair. It's like going to Disneyland. Most of you have been to the State Fair. That's a lot of fun at the State Fair. They got rides at the State Fair. They got plenty of food at the State Fair, but you will go broke there. Because they will take all of your money. So if you go, it's better that you go by yourself. Because if you're going with some people, it's going to cost you. That's what the world is. That's what the far country is. It'll offer you some bling. It'll offer you some good times. But it'll make you pay for it. So he goes to a far country, and we're told in the far country, in the long distance from the Father, he squandered his estate with loose living. He spent what he had. He messed up. Now that was in his control, but it got worse. Because in the far country, something happened that was out of his control, a famine. You can't control the famine. You can't control the change in the economy. You can't control when the downsize happens in the company. You can't control all of that. So he was messing up stuff he could control, then stuff he didn't count on happened. Famine. See, because the world is not going to tell you all that in advance in a far country. They're not going to tell you what's going to happen that you don't know about. They're not going to tell you all that. They're just going to eat up the good gifts God has given you. So he went to a long place away from daddy. He partied hardy. He lived it up using the gifts of the Father to do it. The world promises feasting. It doesn't tell you about a famine. It promises you riches while leading you to poverty. It shouts joy and then allows you to run into pain. It says there's enjoyment until it turns into enslavement. Oh, a drug addict will feel good until the drugs start telling them what to do. That's what the far country is. It's a very entertaining location with a price tag you're not informed of in advance. So he's in a far country, and over time, things have deteriorated on him. Like the dog who had the steak in his mouth, walking by the lake, seeing a reflection of the steak, he thought that was a bigger steak. So he sees the bigger steak, he thinks. He wants the bigger steak, so he reaches for the bigger steak, and now he has nothing. So it is in a far country. When you have wandered from God long enough, we wind up with regrets, don't we? Things we wish were different. Decisions that we would redo if we could. And so, things don't look good for our young man here. But they get worse. Verse 15, he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. And he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swines were eating. And no one was giving him anything. It went from bad to worse. Okay, he didn't run out of stuff. His greenbacks have gone bad. So he becomes a day worker feeding pigs. Now you have to understand, it's a Jewish boy feeding pigs. That's as low as you go. If you're a Jewish guy and you got to feed pork, the unclean animal. Now I know it's good for us. It was bad for them. That was an unclean animal. He went to the garbage. There would be pork or pig was viewed as garbage. But things got so bad in the far country that he is now feeding swine as a day worker. As a day worker feeding pigs, he desires to eat the pods that the pigs were eating, which means our friend can't even afford McDonald's. Because he's got, the only thing he's desiring to eat is the food of that pigs eat. Because in the far country, if you're there long enough, you wind up in the garbage. Oh, it got worse. It says no friends gave him anything. Because when things go left, your friends disappear. Your friends will hang out with you as long as they can help you spend your money. Or piggyback on your coattails. Your friends will stick with you as long as you got a name and a reputation. But let a famine hit you. Or let sin take its toll and reduce you. And all of a sudden, your homeboys and your homegirls are unlocatable on social media. You have been unfriended. So our friend is broke, destitute, famine. Everything is just, his world has crumbled right beneath his feet. Verse 17 offers us a transition. But when he came to his senses, when he came to his senses, translation, he was out of his mind. He was out of his mind. He looked at himself and said, self, what's wrong with you? He looked at himself and said, you're so crazy. He looked at himself and said, come on, man. What's wrong with you? You up here feeding pigs. Watch this. He did not come to his senses until things got rock bottom. As long as you think in the far country, you're going to work it out on your own. He had to get to the bottom of the pit. And he says, you are crazy. You have lost your mind. Look at what you're doing here. Look at how low you go. Look at how your lifestyle has become now out here in this far country. So he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. He says, I'm going to go back home to daddy, and I'm going to tell daddy I have sinned. I am no longer worthy. He was brought to a place of brokenness. God will let sin do you in until you crack. Till we get to the point where we recognize I am too low. I'm too far for too long. Look at my circumstances. See, it was his consequences that woke him up. So God will allow us to have consequences until we get tired of pig life. Garbage life, dirt life. Toe up from the flow up life. I'm going home. I'm going to confess my sin and my unworthiness to my father. And then he shows the fruits of repentance, verse 20. So he got up and came to his father. He didn't just have a discussion with himself about going back, because that's what we do a lot of times. I should go back. I should return. I should get out of the pit. No, he got up. Fruit of repentance. He acted on his internal decision, validating that his internal decision was real. So he's making his way back to his father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned. He gets up. While he was still a long way off, verse 20, his father saw him, felt compassion for him, ran and embraced and kissed him. Guess what? Daddy at the window looking for his boy. Because the father is waiting for some folk to come home. Please, don't miss this, don't miss this, don't miss this. He never went to the far country. Stay with me here. He didn't go to the far country. See, a lot of folk are in the far country calling on God to deliver them. They are away from God, begging God to turn their situation. They're waiting for that change to come in the far country. In other words, they want to keep their sin and have the Father. No, no, no. The Father did not run to him until he saw him on the way back. There must be movement toward God, demonstrating there is sincerity about repentance, and the Father will meet you before you ever arrive. Because he wants you to come home, looking for you to come home, desirous of you to come home, but you got to be coming home. A lot of folk want God to meet them in the far country. The reason he can't do that, the Bible says, is because the world, the far country, is enmity against God. James 4:4 says. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 15 to 17, don't love the world or the things in the world. For if any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You lose the love of God. You're at enmity with God. So he's not going to hang out with you in the far country. But he'll meet you if you decide to live the far country. And to help you want to leave the far country, he'll wait till you hit rock bottom. And trust me, sooner or later, you will. Because that's what sin does. It takes you down in one form or another. But here is a picture like a soldier returning home. You see it on television, and the family's waiting for them, and they run and embrace each other. The father runs and embraces his son. Because notice, it's his son. And he never lost sight of the fact, I'm my father's son, or that this is my father. So this easily relates to a Christian who needs to come back to daddy because they've wandered away in a far country. They've wandered away from God in one form or another. Oh, here's something interesting. He comes back to his father. His father's kissing him, loving on him. And the son said to the father, verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Because of what I did to your name, because of what I did to your resources, I don't deserve to carry your name. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Ooh. I don't know if you caught something right there. The son said, Father, I have sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. The father said, quickly, quickly, bring out the robe, bring out the ring, bring out the sandals. I don't know if you caught that. The son said, I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. The father says, bring out the robe, bring out the ring, bring out the sandals, and bring them quickly. Wait a minute, something is missing. The son said, when I go back, I'm going to tell my father I've sinned. I'm going to tell my father I'm not worthy. And I'm also going to tell my father, make me one of your hired servants. But the father never lets him get out the last line. The father does not let him reduce himself to less than a son. See, the world will let you go down and step on you. Say, look at what you did. Look at how long you did it. Look how much you failed. Look how miserable you are. You no good this, you no good that. But the father said, I ain't letting you go that low. I'm not going to let you live in your regret. I'm not going to keep you there. So every day you wake up, I'm a servant. I should be a son. If I had messed up, then I would be a servant. I would be a son. And you be reminded all day, every day that you're a servant. No, you are my boy. You've been a bad boy, but you my boy. So he throws a party. Cool in the gang. Celebration time. Come on. He throws a party. With the fatted calf. That's like turkey at Thanksgiving. It's a special thing. You bring out the fatted calf for special events. My boy gets a party by the father after he's confessed that he sinned and returned home. See, a lot of folk want a party without a confession. Now, I know what some of you could be thinking. You're saying, wait a minute. He took the father's wealth, went into a far country, sold his wild oats, came back and got a party. So wait a minute. Maybe that's not a bad deal. Maybe I can take what God gave me, go out, go crazy, come back home because daddy gonna throw me a party. Let me tell you what he lost. He lost his inheritance. Because the inheritance is what he lost in a far country. He got a party, but he no longer had his inheritance. Time away from God creates waste. And some waste cannot be recovered. Because of the time away, because of the distance, he did get love from the Father, acceptance from the Father, a party from the Father, but no more inheritance because he spent it in a far country. So whatever inheritance, whatever God still wants to do from you, for you, to you, through you, in you, don't lose anymore. come back home as quickly as possible. Because he lost all of his. Ah. We got a celebration going on. Got a party going on. And that's a great end of the story, except it's not the end of the story. There is a second brother. There's a second brother. Now, verse 25, the older son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. So they have a great time. They have a celebration going on. And he summoned one of the servants, verse 26, and began inquiring what these things could be. What's this party all about? He said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed a fatted calf because he received him back safe and sound." But he became angry. Watch this now. And was not willing to go in. I ain't going to that party. And his father came out and began pleading with him. Come on in, come on in, come on in. But he answered and said to his father, "Look, for so many years, I have been serving you. I never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat." You gave him the fatted calf, never even gave me a goat. You gave him the turkey, didn't give me no chicken. You just, so that I might celebrate with my friends. You never did that for me. I've been here with you. I stayed with you. I hung out with you. But look at what my brother did. Look at what he did to you. Verse 30, when this son of yours, not my brother, this son of yours, who devoured your wealth, he messed up your inheritance with prostitutes, and you killed a fatted calf for him? Come on, man. That ain't right. How many of you can sort of feel the older brother? You kind of feel with him. Come on, come on. Tell the truth. You don't want to admit it, but boy got a point. Boy got a point. I've been with you for years, and I don't get a party? And you're going to go all hog wild over this evil, loose-living, money-wasting son of yours. Let's see the father's response to the older son. And he said, verse 31, "Son," because he's a son too, "you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has become alive, was lost, and is now found." Do you remember what we just defined dead to be? He wasn't physically dead. He was separated. So death in the Bible means separation. This brother was dead to the family, separated from the family. He's alive. That is, there has been a reunion. "You, older son, have been with me always. All that I have is yours." I don't know if you caught that. You've been with me. You never left me. You hung out with me. You've been doing it for years. "All that I have is yours." Translation: you could have had a party anytime you wanted one. The calf just didn't get fat. This calf been fat for a long time. I got all this farm animals out here. You could have had a party every day. You could have had a party every week. It was always available to you. So if you never had a party, it's because you never decided to have one. Because the party was right in your backyard. In other words, brothers and sisters, there are two kinds of prodigals. There is a prodigal that's I'll call him a secular prodigal. This is the one that leaves church. This is the one that goes out into the world. This is the one that leaves God. This is the one that doesn't want to have anything to do with faith. This is the one that's thrown the Bible away, has no time for prayer, and is out there just living it up. And it's evident, the reputation is evident, that this is a sinning son. That's a secular prodigal. Oh, but you can have a religious prodigal. The religious prodigal is staying in the vicinity of the Father. He's hanging out in the Father's field. He still comes to church every Sunday. She still sings in the choir. He still serves on the usher board. They're still around. They give the picture of fellowship with the Father, never taking advantage of the relationship. They are religious prodigals. See, we give a hard time to the secular prodigals because that's like overt wickedness. But God has a lot of other children. He got a lot of other children, a lot of other boys and girls who stay in the vicinity of the Father, who never take advantage of what the Father has to offer. They still in church, but they are disconnected from the Father. So they don't get the benefit of what they could have had. See, the beauty of the second son is that he could have had what the young man had all the time. But he was satisfied with being in the vicinity of. I love Psalm 103, verse 10 to verse 14. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. God knows what you're like, what I'm like, what we're like. He knows our propensity, and he has compassion when we come home. I love Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I love Isaiah 55, 7, which says, and he will abundantly pardon. Looking for opportunities to release us from our sins, which opens up the door for him to address our consequences. So the question is, what kind of prodigal are you? Am I? Am I a younger son prodigal? Well, I'm just loose living. Or maybe a religious prodigal. Well, I go to church, but there's no relationship with the Father. Because the Father says, I will deal with the sinner who repents. His name was Robert Robinson. He lived in the mid-1700s, and he was a poem writer and hymn writer. He wrote poems and songs. He was a Christian, and he loved the Lord, but he went into a far country. He went into a dark place. Many of you know what it is to have been close to the Lord and then go into a dark place. He's in a dark place. One day, Robert Robinson was in a carriage. A young lady got in the carriage to go on a journey where they were going, and she was reading poems. She came across a poem that she did not understand. She turned to the stranger sitting next to her, who was Robert Robinson, and said, Do you understand this poem? The first line of the poem said, come thy fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. If you were raised in church with a hymn book, you know that song. Come thy fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. It became a well-known hymn. He broke out into tears as he told the woman, I wrote that. Many years ago, I was close to God, but I no longer walk with him. The young lady looked at him as tears flowed down Robert Robertson's face. She said, have you forgotten another part of your poem that you wrote? Prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh. Take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Prone to wonder. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. We are all prone to wonder. Amen. To go into a dark place. But when he heard his own words come back at him, right there in the carriage, he recommitted himself to God and came home.